Hey everyone, welcome to Table 40. I'm Matt, I'm here with Leslie, the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network. Check them out at sportsspectrum.com. Today's guests are Leah and Seth Taylor, old friends of ours from back in the day in the minor leagues, and we met them very early on in our journey, and I think part of having them on as the first guest of this podcast is that they were at the very beginning of Leslie and I is part of, you know, our Christian walk. They were there at the beginning of when we really started to understand our calling, and so we wanted to have them on first. So I want to welcome in Leslie and then Seth and Leah. Thanks for joining us.
Hey guys.
Hey.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's only fitting because of the faithful investment that you have made in Matt and I's life. And Matt pretty well said that already, but I'm just repeating what he said. But we just wanted to talk to you guys about, we were really young when we met, but you guys were super focused in your relationship with the Lord and your obedience to teach us about Jesus. And so we just kind of wanted to, for you to share. We know the answer, but we want you to share with the people that might be listening. Or,
well, I think it's important to talk about the Great Commission is the theme of the first round of shows, right?
Yeah.
So we want the theme of this show and some of the first ones that we have on talking about the Great Commission and going and making disciples. And part of that is having you guys on is that we felt like that was something you guys were really strong at, especially being so young when we first met, that it really stood out, the dedication you guys had to going and making disciples and living a life. I don't know. I just always felt like Seth, particularly you and Leslie with Leah, was that you guys at a young age were very mature in your relationship with Jesus, that you were willing to share in a way that was attractive to, I think, all the guys. You bring humor and ways and make people comfortable. So I think that, you know, for me, that the first question would be like, how I guess what set the tone for you guys at such a young age to be living for Jesus when at a time where it would have been easy to just to maybe just focus on baseball and trying to achieve your professional dreams or goals and
keep your faith to yourself.
There you go. Yeah.
Why didn't you keep your faith to yourself?
Who's gonna answer this question?
You can.
So I think when I think about that, I think that, well, I grew up in the church and I grew up in the same church as Leah, and I went to church and I would probably call myself a Christian. But I think that was basically just because I knew a lot about God and in my head. But, you know, if you follow me around this through middle school, high school, you know, I had basically one goal, and that's to play baseball. And I had kind of a radical experience where I had a teammate of mine in college. So I went to South Alabama, and one of my teammates was tragically killed in a car accident, and I was supposed to go with him the night that we were all going out, you know, drinking and partying, doing all the things that college kids do, that I knew better than, or I grew up differently than that. And so I think my life really just flashed before my eyes, and I really began to think about what I was giving my life to at that time. And I just knew that God had a better plan than what I was experiencing. And so I think maybe a seriousness was just in a relatively early age, 18 years old, that happened to me. And so just facing the reality of, had I been in that car that night with Landon, I'm not really sure where I would have spent eternity. And so I had the opportunity in college also shortly after that. I think one of the things I did was actually write Leah and tell her about my experience, because I grew up with Leah, always liked Leah, but Leah was too much like Jesus for me to try and date. So I was like, not, that ain't happening, you know? And, but when I had that experience, and then shortly after had the opportunity to be discipled by some really awesome guys and athletes, college football athletes, that played. And, that was really awesome for me to be able to experience that. And so that kind of set the course of just not just having an abundant life, what that really means, John 10:10, and to really experience God for who he is and what he has planned for us. And so I think just that occurring early for me, I would say that's early, had a big shaping of my view about life and view about teammates and friends and so on and so forth.
Well, and I think I was saved when I was 11 at a point in my life where I just didn't have a lot of purpose. I'd lost a loved one and didn't know what happened to people when they died. You know, where do we spend eternity? Just a lot of those questions when you realize for the first time ever that life has limits. And when I came to faith in Christ, I felt like God gave me purpose. And like Seth, some people came into my life right away that just, they didn't teach me how to be religious. They just taught me how to know Jesus and know him through his word and prayer. And I think that I just really understood how special it was that people would take that time to invest in me. And they taught me in that process that we were all given gifts and abilities and avenues in life by which to like share our faith and share about the love of Jesus. And for me, it was soccer. For Seth, it was baseball. And I just, I saw soccer as a way to tell other people about him. And I just knew wherever he put my feet with soccer, that's what I was going to do. So I think in college, we were pretty focused on that mission, you know, and sharing the love of God wherever we were.
Go ahead.
I asked that question. That means it's your turn to ask a question. I'm not sure.
I know. I think there's two things that you said that I would love for you to expand on. One, like you have a salvation experience and both of yours was different, but the same in the fact that, man, you're giving your life to the Lord. You realize your limits and you've surrendered your life to Jesus. And so through athletics, you've started to pursue people to disciple you. And I guess my question would be, in because we're talking about the Great Commission, how would you, girls that have been following the Lord for a while, how would you practically encourage them to, I guess, to disciple young women? And what would that look like in baseball?
Yeah, I think just the way I see it in scripture is like people learn about the character of God through experiencing him when they start to obey him. So I just think that if you want to serve the Lord in ministry, if you want to be an example for him, if he's opening up doors for you to share his love, then you just start where you are and find someone that maybe knows a little bit more than you and ask them to teach you what they know. Jump into their lives. I mean, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, come follow me. And then he just lived his life and these disciples watched him, you know, and they just saw his character, how he treated people, how he loved others. And I think that's the crux of discipleship is that we just show people how we pursue an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And you start where you are knowing that God is going to be faithful to equip you with what you need to reach people, because the job of reaching people is his. He's just looking for people who are available. And I think he adds the knowledge and the increase as you walk forward in obedience, you know?
Yeah. So it doesn't need to be like a real polished, like PowerPoint type of relationship with strangers, essentially, because you guys know how this is. And so in the minor leagues and the major leagues, whatever, baseball is just they place you where they see fit. And so it's strangers coming together for a season. And eventually the goal is to build relationships like we've been so blessed to build with y'all and with other people in our lives that God's allowed us to really have lifelong friendships with people in baseball. And I think that it can be intimidating for young women and young men to think that they really can do this in professional sports. But I think that what I hear you saying is just invite someone into your home or into your circle and just do life with them and the things that, I think that that's what you guys did with us and Matt and I. I mean, we were newly married and you just kind of invited us in to be a part of what you were doing. I mean, y'all had Christian at the time, he was a little bitty guy and we got to watch how you parented him and how the dynamic of your marriage went, the ebb and flow of it. And I feel like something you did that both Matt and I really appreciate is that you were honest and allowed us really to see kind of the things you did well and then the things that maybe you didn't do so great, right? I mean, I don't remember any of those specifically, but I think that there was you guys were vulnerable and you just allowed us in. And so I think that was the one reason that we wanted to talk about the Great Commission, because Jesus, it wasn't something like, yeah, if you feel like doing this, do this, right? I mean, Jesus said, no, I'm going to be with you, but you are going to need to go and make disciples. But I'm going to be with you while you do it. So I do think it is a command, but it doesn't have to be so polished and professional that we want to back away from making disciples, right? I mean, would you agree with that? I guess no, you agree with that because that's exactly what you said.
Well, I mean, discipleship is life on life. And so I think about any formal, well, when I was in college, I had the opportunity for 2 years to sit underneath, he just discipled me and another guy, and the other guy is a pastor in Brooklyn. And so it was just awesome because it takes time to grow and it takes time to really, share life and kind of work through all of our own stuff. And that's a lifelong process. But it's life on life. And like with baseball, it's so, I don't know that it's any different than life, but it just seems different because you're in this bubble and you're around people a lot. And there's all these different personalities, different countries, all over the country. And I just found it so challenging and rewarding to build relationships really with everybody and really try to find something to respect about everybody, because not everybody's a Christian. Mm-hmm. Right. So, but just really trying to be a great teammate. And I think, I really tried hard at that. And I think Matt was really, really good at that. And obviously that's proved to be throughout his entire career. He's a really great teammate. And when you're a really great teammate, that gives you a platform at some point to kind of share with people, like, why is that so important that you really care about the people? And, I don't know. So I think discipleship is life on life. It's small drips and drops of life, as you go along, and it doesn't have to be anything formal. And sometimes that's way better than being real regimented. And not that we shouldn't be structured and all that too, but just, I think it's just life on life.
Yeah. I think, I know that I locked into praying at an early age that, Lord, help me see a need. Because I think when I read through like the Gospel of John and I try to watch like, okay, if I want to live this life for God, then why don't I start in the book of John and like read how Jesus treated people, how he talked to people, who he talked to. He was, he shook things up everywhere he went. He stood for the marginalized and he served. When he didn't just go require things of people when he met them, he saw their need, whether it was a healing, whether it was forgiveness, whether it was acceptance. And so, I just remember praying like, Lord, help me see the needs on this team, the needs in the lives of these women. I remember we used to take one season in Raleigh, we took the roster and we would pray for teammates every morning at breakfast, just a couple.
Was it in Salem?
No, it was when we all lived in the apartment in Raleigh.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we did?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I don't remember that far. But anyway, we would just pray for teammates and pray for open doors and opportunities. And I know an opportunity came, Leslie, for you and I to meet and do Bible study together. And we talked about this the other day, but I just remember the first time you ever came to our house for Bible study. And we looked at John 4 and I don't know, just knowing that the Lord had given me that home and an ability to have people over. And I was taught, I'm from the South, so I was taught a way to a person's heart is through their stomach. So we would try to feed people even if we didn't cook very well. So I don't know. We just tried to love people and meet their needs and talk about the Lord when the opportunity arose.
Yeah, and I think one thing you did really well too was you at that house in Salem, we talked about this the other day about remember whenever they brought us in there and they had this dinner and we sat at the dinner table and then they were like, bow your heads to pray. And we were a little bit uncomfortable about that. And then made us more uncomfortable. And so to where we were like, maybe we should leave, but don't know what happened.
Well, I'm not sure I remember it perfectly, but I do remember that as we began to pray before dinner and knowing Seth a little bit, I wasn't all that surprised, but when we held hands,
which then, we were a little alarmed at that from the very beginning, but whatever.
And then, when you raised my hand and who, I think maybe Leah was on the other side or whatever. And then all of a sudden you're raising our hands and you go into this transic, humble dumble.
That's called the great icebreaker.
Yeah. That broke the ice pretty quickly. I remember thinking that was alarming, but in hindsight, not surprising at all after getting to know you and I wouldn't be surprised. I should have known that something like that was coming.
Yeah.
Actually that alone like sparked so many conversations with people. I think Leah was sharing this the other day, but we had when I was with the Yankees, I was drafted by the Yankees. So first year, the first round pick was a pitcher from Arkansas. Awesome guy. And so like we did that we were at a restaurant or something. And then he knew I was a Christian, you know, so I totally did that the first time we ever met and ate with Leah. And then after that, he would like say, hey guys, can we go to dinner with so-and-so and so-and-so and can we pray? And every time, and we did it like all the time. And so he was just like, I can't wait to do this. But it was awesome because it sparked a lot of good conversation.
Yeah. It was one of those organic things that I think just took the awkward. I mean, like if you're going to be that awkward up front, and then they realize nothing you're going to talk about is going to be like that weird. After that it opened up a lot of doors for, we would say like, yeah, we don't pray like that, but we do pray. And people were in favor of praying with us and just starting conversations about, well, why do you pray? And have you always been religious? Or, you know, we got to talk about the difference in having a relationship versus religion. So it was a good icebreaker. And that was just organic. I think you made that up in the moment or something.
Yeah, I think, and I think that, I don't know, Maddie, you might, and Les too, like, a lot of people's view of Christianity, or at least in the athletic world, is that they're either soft or weak or boring or not fun or just weird.
Yeah.
And like, and so that is like not at all the case. And so.
Well, we are weird.
Well, everybody's weird. But I just think that, man, there's so much joy in knowing what God has for us. And so like one of the things that I think that God has actually blessed me with is the ability to have fun, you know, and well, some people may not agree with that, but I just think that, you know, a lot of people don't think that Christians can have fun. Yeah. And so I don't know. I just think that that's kind of a stigma, and I don't know how we're doing with that, but I think it's on us to just live our lives and to have joy and to have people, you know, be attracted to that. And I think it is attractive when you have somebody that's secure and they're confident and, you know, they're experiencing God for all that he has for us.
Yeah, I just think the sense of humor is easy to unarm people with that. You know, I mean, people are arm's distance. You know, they don't want to get too deep with people. And when you have somebody who's funny, you can use humor and immediately become more comfortable in talking to somebody who's got a sense of humor. And I think that's something that I was drawn to as a young player. When you get invited to go to chapel, you're like, I don't know, this is, you know, but when it's somebody you're comfortable with, somebody that you know is like you and is, you know, has a sense of humor you immediately become more comfortable with potentially going to chapel and then learning, and then you don't feel like that you're going to get called on and somebody that'll kind of protect you a little bit. I think for me, like, that was always important, because the last thing I wanted was to go to Bible study or chapel and get called on, and I didn't know anything about how to answer questions or the Bible at that time. Really, I didn't have any insight on what was even going on. So having teammates and people, I think, is important when you go into a situation or relationship to where you can kind of take them under your wing a little bit and help them through that awkward kind of beginning stage where, like I said, you invite guys to Bible study. It's very intimidating as far as, you know, that seems more intimate than even a chapel. I just think that being able to take guys under your wing and make them feel comfortable about their role and maybe even, you know, kind of even giving the chaplain a heads up that, hey, you know, don't call on this guy for answers about the Bible. He'll never come back. I've seen that in 20 years. I've seen guys want to come to Bible study or come to chapel, and then, you know, the chaplain goes out of his way to ask him to answer questions, and they're like, I'm not coming back to that. So having somebody, a mentor, an older guy, I guess a more mature guy, to kind of take you under your wing and help you along down those lines. Discipleship, I guess, is really the word for it. But in baseball, it might look a little different than meeting for coffee and walking through, you know, the Word of God. It might look a little different. So that was something you did well, something that I tried to take with me the rest of my career, is in trying to help people feel more comfortable. And I think that's an important part to kind of expose younger guys to the gospel in a very, I guess, environment that's so competitive. The last thing we as professional athletes want to be is embarrassed. And I think that scares guys away. And I think that's something that you did really well. So I guess that's just a compliment to you guys and something that we tried to take, I think, at least for me, into the rest of my career. I was going to ask you guys about your children a little bit, just in knowing that you have one in college now and that your kids are a little older now, and people that listen to this probably have young kids, and any advice and how to disciple kids or how to effective strategies. I know your kids all love Jesus and are in worship, and I think to this point it's been pretty cool for you guys to see your kids and their maturity and being believers. Is there anything you guys would do's and don'ts for the rest of us?
You said that the other day.
I think that the reaching of the world, like, there's a quote by Mother Teresa that I actually really love, and it says, if you want to change the world, go home first and love your family. Because how we love each other in our four walls is what spills out to our community and to everywhere we put our feet. So if we're not being authentic in our homes and we're not connected spiritually and emotionally with our kids in the home, it's not going to really matter what we say on the outside. And I think we've all seen that in big ministries and things like that, where the main thing stops being the main thing. And you see it erode the home, and then it erodes the ministry of the individual. And so I think first and foremost, we work really hard to get it right between the two of us constantly, and be authentic in front of our kids and show, you know, I mean, that whole setup in Ephesians, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church, wives submit to your husbands. Just in the, you know, loving your wife like Christ loves the church is a sacrificial love, and it's a great gift. I think Seth does a great job with that in our family. It's not a question that we love each other. And I think that sets up the whole picture for our kids on God's love for them and for his church. And so we work really hard at us in an effort that that love that we submit to one another with will trickle down to our kids. And we're not perfect, but I think growing up in the beginning, I think we both grew up young with like kind of marriages were tough in our homes growing up. Yeah. The relationships weren't super strong. And so if you think about it, like if God is a father and the bride of Christ is, you know, and the church is the bride of Christ, those relationships, like the parental relationship and the marriage relationship, they mirror to these younger generations. They mirror what the love God has for this world. The home is set up for that. And so before we ever step out and work for a church or to go in ministry, like we've been to Nepal and places like that, we want our kids to know as we're going that we're authentic in what we're doing. And I think that's how you raise people to seek and love God. And you don't just raise a bunch of weird little Christians.
There's that weird, the weird Christians. I think, so it's super, for me, it was like super hard to think that my kids wouldn't want to really get after athletics like the way that I thought they would, having played, you know, for a long time. And then Leah being a pretty darn good athlete herself. Not that our kids didn't play or whatever, but I don't think they had the same, they don't have the same goals about athletics as we did. And honestly, for me, that's been hard. And it's been hard to understand why they don't want to work or why would you not want to take advantage of, you know, any ability that you might have. And you don't want to, you know, like you don't want to play what, like you're not going to try. Like, I don't get that. That is what it is. So it's been tough for me as my kids have gotten older, but also they all love the Lord. And so what has given me a great peace about just letting them be who they are is that, and that God's got them. And the one thing, like Leah said, the one thing that our kids know is don't mess with mom and don't pin mom and dad against one another, because that ain't happening. And they know where they stand. Like, My deal is that Leah comes first, and they know that. Like, we do date night, and now the kids are old enough, it's like, peace out, y'all can grab, what do you want to order, a pizza? We're going to grab some steak, you know, or whatever. but we try to, you know, we really try to, so I grew up in a house to where my parents, no doubt they love me. My parents divorced after 38 years. And while I was in pro ball, actually, and I knew, like, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. John 10:10. That's what I wanted my marriage to be like, and that's what I want my marriage to be like. And I mean, way back to Matt Eddie Watkins, like that was he and Betsy's verse, and it was just a confirmation for me to what, like, despite what happens with baseball, what happens with kids, whatever, like, I think as a married couple, that's really important, and we stink at it. And so that connection between husband, wife, and then kids, I think is, you know, we put the kids before our, you know, ourselves. And a lot of times, especially the kids are getting older, and, you know, our life as parents comes, you know, a lot about what's up with the kids, and I'll do everything for the kids, and we kind of neglect our main deal, and that's to love our wives like the Christ loved the church. So I think that plays a big role, and it's just it may be nothing like Bible like hey, let's sit down and read scripture, but it's really, they know you the best and how you treat one another and how you treat them, and it's stuff that I struggle at. Like, I struggle with losing my temper, and I struggle with the stuff, but that's like as important as how we treat people. And I think that's a direct reflection of our relationship. And I think that's what God would want us to do, is to treat one another in the utmost respect and in the right priority. are in the right order.
I think before Jesus went to the cross and he was with the disciples and I washing their feet, you know, he said, they're going to know you by the way you love, or they're going to know me by the way you love. And so that's why I don't think it has to be like you're armed with the best 16 Bible verses to share with somebody, or you have it all together, or you find the perfect church for everyone to attend in baseball season. It's like, if you open your home and you love each other and you love people, then God's going to exude from that, like that your cup's going to overflow with his love. And that's what people are attracted to. I don't think people are attracted to religion. I think they are searching for answers and often find religion, but they're looking for a relationship. And the Bible sets the stage for that. Jesus connected with people. He met needs. He took people where they were. He saw everyone. He heard everyone and he loved. And I think that that's attainable to anybody, no matter how much Bible you know. If you want to love people, the Lord's going to open the door wide for athletes and professional athletes to do that by opening their homes.
No doubt about it. Anything else, Matt?
No, I just want to thank you guys for coming on. It's great to see you guys, hear from you guys. Great perspective. Obviously, we don't get to hang out as much as we wish we could, but really want to thank you guys for coming on, that's about it. That's all we got for the show, but hopefully people will tune in and tell their friends about it. But I want to thank you guys for coming on, and thank you again.
Oh, and when we talk marriage, we'll have to do this again for sure. Yeah. Lots of wisdom from you guys. Thank you.